This is Monday, the 18th of September, 1978, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and we are having a session with Bartholomew. Good evening, Master.
Good evening. And I understand that we shall have a joyous weekend. Is that not true?
Yes, it is.
Our friends will be traveling north. It will be very grand to be together again. I look forward to some interesting sharing.
And so are we. Master, there are several questions that we would like to ask. The first deals with the subject of the validity of predictions that are sought out by people for various reasons, and predictions that they receive from psychics. How does this mechanism function, and what is the significance of it?
Well, I've asked that this question be brought forward because I feel that there are many people who need to have clarification on this. I will say first, I believe I have said it before, but I would like to say it again in connection with this topic. There is no so-called psychic or mediumistic communication that is totally free of error. It cannot be done. There are varying degrees of clarity, and each person who is serving as the transformer or the giver of the message has varying times, fluctuating times of clarity and then of less clarity. So the number one rule when dealing with any kind of thing, including any specific data that I might give to any specific person, you must remember that there can be errors. Now, what is not really possible with a really good psychic is that on the same topic there will be a total misunderstanding of an entire vast area subject.
Uh-huh.
What I'm saying is, when you get down to subjects like what is my particular destiny for the next 3 weeks or the next 3 months, or what should I do about one particular subject field and so forth, anything that deals with the time-space concept particularly is extremely difficult for any psychic to really be able to express clearly. And even some of the greatest psychics have missed greatly. Spatially, for example, as an example I would like to give, of course, Edgar Cayce is the classic example, because his times did not coincide, and people, you know, always his mm-hmm. projected dates, and people were very, very down on him for this. Well, the truth is, of course, there was no way that he could be that precise,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, life is not something that predictable. It has organic movement to it, and you can predict the general movements, the general flowing of a river. You can predict, you see, its general
mm-hmm.
flowing, but you cannot predict where every drop of water is going to land on every bank,
mm-hmm.
you see. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
That there can be seepage off of a bank a little ways that is not a predictable event. But if a psychic misses the entire totality of an event, I mean the whole scope of something, of an elongated period, then you know that there's something greatly wrong, that indeed it's not a psychic transform communication at all, that something else is going on,
mm-hmm.
and shouldn't be even considered. So I would say this as a warning to anyone, because many people go to psychics, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't. I would be the last person who would be in a position to speak this way. But I am saying that I really urge everyone to be extremely careful. Now, there are different kinds of psychic phenomena, and I think this would be, with your approval, I'd like to go into it. I would also like to explain what happens in my work and what happens with others, so that we will perhaps have some kind of an understanding. Now, there is one kind of psychic which the vehicle, whoever is chosen, whoever is there, sits, and then they lose their whole sense of consciousness. It's almost as if they are somewhere else, standing either outside of the physical vehicle or up, sometimes up
mm-hmm.
on the ceiling, or sometimes they don't know where they are. They're totally in a blue orb or any
mm-hmm.
any type of thing
mm-hmm.
like this. And then the data is given, and then when the data is finished, there is a re-entry, and that's that. And in these cases, they will never remember any of the material that has gone through. Now that's one type.
Okay.
Now, that is not what happens here. And I would like to explain what happens here and where the difference comes. What happens here is simply that the woman reaches out with her yearning to help. She reaches out, and as she is, which opens her up, you see,
uh-huh.
it is an opening of her whole being. She lays herself open, if you will, knowing the risks, but she chooses to do it, feeling that the data that is given is of sufficient help to enough people that she is willing to take the risks, and she knows well the risks, you see.
What are you referring to?
I'm referring to that when anyone leaves themselves open, it is possible that what you would call unfriendly influences can come
uh-huh.
and impinge upon her consciousness and make her life difficult. But she trusts the power that we represent to know that we will keep her safe.
I see.
Now, this is something we can't tell her. This is something she has had to find out. And this is why in the beginning stages she didn't choose to recall much of what was happening. She chose to keep it away from her, in a sense. A blank, in a way. I mean, she always remembered a lot of it, but she could never remember unless she heard the tapes again.
Right.
And she would have perfect recall. So she knew she was always involved in it some way, but she didn't want to be too close to it because she didn't want to have the fear of something negative coming in, and then she would have to deal with that.
I see.
But what has happened here is that she's come to trust the power, and she knows it to be a positive influence in her life. And so she trusts in that sense, and now she has perfect recall. Now what happens now is that she reaches out and opens herself up, and you see the greater amount of her opening of her into the vastness, the more of the wisdom can be impressed upon her. So what happens is that she opens herself up, and we impress the data upon her in imagery, in
mm-hmm.
symbology,
mm-hmm.
and then she instantly, you know, this is all an instantaneous process, just like your thoughts are instantaneous. We impress upon her awareness, not upon her imagination, sir, upon her awareness, what we wish to say. Egos work with imagination, all right? One of the great tools of the ego is an imagination. A thought is an image. A thought is an image
mm-hmm.
shown to your awareness, all right? We bypass that process and deal with divine thought impressed on her awareness. And this way, you see, we bypass the ego. Do you see?
May I ask, is there any way to describe, or perhaps it's not even important, the character of divine thought? Obviously, it's not in words, I guess.
No, it's not in words. And it is it's actually feeling tone. It's a great deal of feeling tone. And what happens is that when we bypass, with her consent, that whole area of ego,
mm-hmm.
of ego and imagery and thought of the ego, we are able to impress the pure thought forms, the pure thought, onto the awareness. Now, it is true that when you get closer to the source, there will be no such thing as thought. But that's not where we are. I mean, that's not where the earth plane is, so we don't deal
right.
with that. Do you understand?
Right.
The thought actually is not a word that is greatly used in other spheres, but this is what we deal with. This is the raw material of this earth plane, and we use what's here.
Right.
And what's here is thought. So we use divine thought, which is divine symbol, divine truth, divine power is impressed upon her awareness, bypassing that whole area of the ego, and then she can speak with the clarity of it.
Uh-huh.
And it's the degree to which she is able to open and allow us that we are able to impress more and more clearly, bypassing more and more of that whole defensive ego structure.
I see.
And this is what the process is. It's the fact that when so much power, for example, if any of you have had a spiritual experience, you will realize that when the power comes in, you are thinking totally differently. You know,
yes.
There's a whole different range, seemingly a whole different world of feeling, tone, and imagery, and knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I'm speaking about, and this is what she moves into. And the reason that there can be different persons come through and speak is simply because in her openness, the more open she gets, then the vaster higher powers, which could not come if she were much more closed, you see, are able to also impress on her. And this will get stronger and stronger. She will be able to impress higher and higher states of awareness. And it's awareness meeting awareness, you see, bypassing the ego. It is the divine awareness impressing on her area of divine awareness, activating that,
mm-hmm.
Consciously activating that perception so that we can bring it forth. I know it sounds very strange. If there are any questions of yourself or anyone, I would be very glad at this time or a later date to answer. But this is the process. Now, this is very different from someone who is inert and has data pushed through them, and they... Now, the main difference is this. In your wife's case, everything that comes through her changes her.
Uh-huh.
You see, and this is why, in a sense, she is blessed. Because as all of the data is moving through her, although she doesn't have the advantages, say, that you and your friends do, of asking direct questions and having her own rapport with me, in the sense that we do, she has another advantage. You see, they're of equal worth, which is that all of this data, as it moves through her, it moves through her and impresses her.
Uh-huh.
It impresses itself upon her. And so she is changing each time that one of these comes along. And by the way, you change each time. I don't know if you're aware of it, but there is a change in you. And there is a change in the people who listen to the tapes.
And you have referred to this in terms of the blessings that come to those from hearing the tapes, and the benefit to the planet from what we're doing right here, that this has a very positive effect on the atmosphere.
Yes, you see, truth changes things. Truth changes things. Ego thoughts don't change anything. They just mess things up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't make any dynamic changes. But truth entered into the earth plane changes things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why the great ones can so change the world by sitting quietly. They don't have to do anything because the very fact of their mind expanding with the divine wisdom of awareness impressed upon that,
mm-hmm.
moving out into the earth plane, changes things far more. And this is why, over and over again, people, when they listen to tapes that have meaning, they may not even understand why they are drawn to listening to the tapes. You know, the words may not terribly impress them, but there is a tonal quality, perhaps, that attracts them. And they're changed.
Mm-hmm.
And each time they hear the tape, they're changed. There is an exchange. There is an opening. Because, you see, we're not limited to this tape. I mean, I know it's hard for you to explain, but let me try and explain to you what happened. All right, we have an exchange, and it goes upon this tape. The tape goes down to the south, and someone there takes the tape and asks to take it home or makes a copy or however
mm-hmm.
this works, and goes home and plays it. All right, now, in their mind, they think, well, I'm just playing this tape. That is not true. What they are doing, as those words come out of their tape, they are actually, once again, in contact with me.
Mm-hmm.
And by me, I don't mean just Bartholomew, I mean the power that sent me,
mm-hmm.
the power that I represent, the truth that I personify in my words. They are one with that feeling. They
mm-hmm.
are one with that power.
And
so correctly used, these tapes can be tremendously helpful in transforming their mind and their body into deeper awareness. Because the very fact that when the tape goes on, if they just can sit there and feel the whole experience is activating a relationship.
Yes.
You see, we are always all in relationship. The entire God self is always in relationship. And the tape is simply a reminder. It is a way to, how can I say, to plug in again mm-hmm. to that divine knowledge, and then we become one again. You see, we're reminded. You know, they're reminded that we are one, and they can get more and more aware, not only of me, of course, which is not important, but what they can get aware of is that feeling of dynamic power that will go with these things.
Can a mantra, a proper mantra, have the same effect?
Oh yes. This is why we always say that mantra is so helpful. Anything that keeps the power moving in you, in the divine sense, that keeps the power moving and ever increasing. You see, the whole job is to get as much of your life power packed with divine energy as you can. Mm-hmm. And the more ways that you can think of, this is why reading spiritual books helps. You see, it keeps your mind focused on the divine plan rather right. than on mysteries or science fiction or whatever. I mean, I'm not against these things, understand. That's not my point. My point is that if you're trying to build a dynamic powerhouse of spiritual energy in order to make a thrust for deepest awareness, you have to use all the things at your command.
Right.
And this is one of them. So where do you think would be helpful for me to pick this up if she could have somewhere?
Oh, okay.
Oh, I know. I have tracked what we're doing just a minute. All right, now that I've explained the two main types of psychic awareness, I would like to go in a little of what really happens. If you could visualize your own life as layers, you will understand much greater or much deeper what I am trying to say. Everyone's life has many layers to it. Now, most people perceive the top layer, and they see the activities and the movements on that plane.
Yes.
And they take that to be the real. And as long as they stay there, they are subject to the laws of that plane, which is cause and effect, attack, defense, mm-hmm. so forth. Mm-hmm. You see, we're very familiar with all of that. Now, there is, of course, a layer under that. Now, the layer under that is one that traps many people. This would be called the psychological layer.
Yes.
And this is the layer of the group therapists and of the psychologists, psychiatrists, all of this, which is trying to manipulate the top layer with strings. All right? And the strings they see coming from this second layer, which is the psychological layer.
Okay.
Now, if you're in that realm, then you have to abide by those laws. And there are different laws. Now, I am not going to go into them because, quite frankly, I feel that most people listening to this tape have either experimented in that area or intuitively feel that that is not where they would like to spend their perception.
Right.
Their perception. All right, now, beneath that layer of the psychological is what I would call the realm of the occult. Now, the realm of the occult is another wonderful trap. It's probably trapped more people on the earth plane throughout the centuries than, well, a great many. A great many people stop here. And the reason, of course, is it's interesting.
Mm.
I mean, this is really mystery here. This lies all of the mysteries of all of the magicians, both black and white. In it lies all of the deep workings of the magic, of the tarot, all of that lies in here.
The fascination with astral phenomena.
The astral projection, the spirit world, the realm of the dead,
mm-hmm.
and the contact of the dead here, the realm of prediction of future events, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
This is that realm, and it is fascinating because it is so different, you see, from this top level. Now, see
right.
where we've come. We've come quite a ways. And that's quite a ways for most people. And, of course, I must say that is a better, a really more interesting place to be than either of the first two layers,
right.
you see. Now, then we come to the realm below that, or above that, depending on which way you see it. And that is in the realm of divine cause, Now, what I mean by that is when you pass by the occult is the world of form. Everything in the occult has a form. Okay. And you try to manipulate that realm of form, you see.
Right.
Whereas before, the top layer you try to deal in manipulating if people, objects, mm-hmm. you see. Now, then you go to the next one, the psychological, and now you're trying to manipulate the mind. Okay? You're going to take all these little separate minds and you're going to manipulate them and get them to do your bidding. You see, each place you're trying, of these two levels, you're trying to get people to do your bidding.
Right.
All right. Now then you move to the realm of the occult, and you're getting into deep water, because you see, you intuitively know you cannot manipulate that realm.
Uh-huh.
You are beginning to lose your hold. Because once you really move into that and see that there are forces far beyond your control, and this is where you will see it, you begin to lose your confidence in being able to manipulate. So in a way, this is a fascinating realm, and it's very helpful to many people. I'm not suggesting that everyone has to go through all of these. Some people leap from one down straight to another. But usually, the progression works thusly. All right. Now, in olden times, they would bypass the second realm. The psychological was very rarely very interesting.
I wonder why.
To people. Well, I think because they really didn't have anybody who began opening it up to them. And, you know, there's a tremendous interest in psychiatry and psychotherapy mm-hmm. and all this now. And, of course, this is the age of the mind, mm-hmm. you know, and all of its interest. But most people in the olden days moved straight from number one to number three.
Right.
And they just leapt right over that. They weren't interested in any of that area.
I see.
And you can do so. You don't have to. These are not required courses, you see. You can move with relative ease. All right. Anyway, they ended up easily in this occult realm. And when they got here, they lost control. They began to lose control. They began to then be manipulated by these forces. And this, of course, you see, can be very dangerous. In
yes.
sense, because now they place themselves in the hands of a spiritualist who then begins to conjure up probably real voices and words and so forth and so forth. I'm speaking of the real ones, not those that are contrived.
Right.
But you see, there are real occurrences on this level. All right. But this is also the realm of healing.
The occult is.
You see, you can heal from the occult level. It is possible to heal from the occult level. The problem with healing from the occult level, sir, is that you still have the delusion that it is you that is somehow doing the healing. You see, this is a dangerous area. So when I explain the layer deeper than that, I think this will be made clear of what the difference is. But once you see that there are forces, please follow me, and if I'm not clear, have me repeat.
Okay.
All right. Once you get in this realm and you understand that there are forces that are not you, there are forces beyond your control, once you understand this, you can take, depending on your inner heart, you can take one of two realms. You can either say, I wish to get in touch with those beneficial forces that are going to benefit me and my family or all of mankind or however you see that, and thereby get in touch with the healing powers which lay in this area very strongly. Or you can go the other way and say, I am going to get in control of this area, and you can move into the realm of magic. Now, a white magician is equally concerned with control as a black magician. The difference is that a white magician wants to use his power for good, and a black magician wants to use his power for control of the darker forces. You know, his way no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a sense, the white magician is in a better state. I do not recommend either, because both of these are still manipulative, and they still have as their core substance the small I, you see.
I would think it could be a very risky business.
It's a terrifying business for people who really get deeply into it, and I do not recommend it. I'm simply trying to understand, trying to make clear to you, to all of you listening, that there are these different areas, and this is where one can be caught.
Right.
Now, all right, so once you see the power at work, then you have choices to make. Now, hopefully, when one really perceives that there is power at work, one will say, I do not wish to use my limited understanding to control these vast powers.
Right.
All right. Now, when one says that, one within a twinkling of an eye, one has moved then to the deeper, more meaningful area, which is the area of power and movement without form. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that this is the area of surrender, the area of allowing the powers of the divine, because you must know that this layer that I am speaking of is so close to the source that it does not include the dark forces.
Uh-huh.
It does not. You cannot move, sir, from that occult realm to the realm that I'm speaking of. You cannot move there until you are in a state that you will only receive the positive vibrational frequencies. You cannot move there if you are able to still do tremendous evil.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot. Because in the realm that I'm speaking of, I know these are hard to understand, but in the realm I'm speaking of, there is no fear such as there is in the occult. There is only divine, dynamic, creative power. All right? And when you get in this area, this is the realm of the surrendered being. This is the realm of the beloved child of God. This is the realm of the aspirant whose heart cries out for their Lord. This is the realm of the seeker. The seeker who has come far enough along to have a yearning heart that yearns only for union with the One and wants nothing else. And this is the realm. Have I made this clear?
I think so.
All right. Now, this is the realm, of course, that we are hoping we're all dealing with tonight. That when you move into this area, you only can surrender. You don't need to fear surrender, you see, because there is only the good there. There is only the dynamic Lord. There is only that. And so you're safe. And the way to know about your own safety in any of these realms is to check out your heart. What is it you yearn for? If you still yearn for control, then you're not in that area.
Right.
Then you're still in jeopardy, in some sense, of hurting others. The greatest jeopardy, sir, is not being hurt, but hurting others. That
How
is
so?
The greatest jeopardy. Because you can attempt to hurt others, and if they are in such a state, it may not touch them. It will just move and not harm them. Or it may harm them slightly. But make no mistake, if you harm another, you have harmed yourself. The cycle will complete itself, and it will end up being embodied within you,
mm-hmm.
and will work against you, make it harder for yourself, because you create your own destiny. You know, what you give out is what you give back. And this is why the highest form of good on the occult level is to move as quickly as you can out of it and put aside all of those thoughts and simply try to move within your heart and move within the dynamic power. All right, you can say to me, how do I move from the occult? It's very simple. It's very, very simple. If you have within your heart a genuine desire to serve and to love and to forgive, if these are three motives, to serve, to love, and to forgive, then you are qualified for movement into the realm that I'm talking about. Because you cannot do any of those three in the realm of the occult. You can only manipulate, you can only attempt to get power. You can only attempt to do things.
Mm-hmm.
So it is on this deepest level that the tremendous healing powers come in
uh-huh.
to play. Because they can only be motivated, they can only be brought into life, into form, into movement, by vehicles who have those three qualities. And everyone on deep appraisal will know if they have these three qualities. I mean, they don't need to speak it out. They know within their heart. Are there people they have not forgiven? Then they're not qualified. Are there people that they do not love, that they hold resentment for? They are not qualified. Do they not wish to serve? If they wish to serve only a specialized group, then they're not qualified.
Let's say you have people, perhaps not even in present relationships, but maybe in relationships of years ago, 15, 20 years ago, that you have not forgiven. That is to say, one never, well, one had an unpleasant experience, let's hypothesize, it's true for everybody, and one got away from the source of irritation eventually and then put it out of one's mind. I take it then that that's going to be some baggage that will hold up a person until he or she is willing to go back into the experience and clear it up.
Well, let me put it, yes, that's true, but let me put it in the now so that we can understand. If you can survey the people in your own life, the people in your very life that you deal with every day, and if you find within those people that the people that move through your mind, you know, every day, not that you see, but that move through your mind, which is as much of your life as anything, your mind and your thoughts, as much of your life as your physical actions. If everyone who moves through your mind every day, if there is never, ever anyone in that repertoire of people that you have not utterly forgiven, and the way you'll know forgiveness is if you feel joy when you think of them.
Right.
If there's anyone that doesn't meet that qualification, then you know you haven't forgiven. And if you have forgiven all those totally around you, I think, quite frankly, that on retrospection about those past events, it will take an instant and you will realize you have forgiven. Because you are in a state of forgiveness.
Uh-huh.
You see, it is not that you would then have to go tediously through each one of your relationships all the way back. If you are in a state of forgiveness and of love, when you bring that person to your mind, you will instantly know that it is all forgiven, that the slate is clean, that the joy is there, that your heart abounds with care and love and good wishes for their good life.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you will know within yourself. And it happens right here. It you know, if you can work this magic in your own life of forgiveness right here, then you will not need to worry about any place else, because no matter where you go in your past, you will find only your forgiveness there. It's something that will be a part of you. And when your mind reaches back to those events, it will transform them. It will literally transform them. Because you will not remember them that way. You will remember now, the person's face will come to your mind, and an entirely different understanding will come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be automatically a happening, because it will be a state in which you are in. But it is important to understand that these are qualifications for entrance into the realm that I'm speaking of. Many people seek to heal and wonder why they cannot heal. And it is because they have not entered into the realm of real healing. And the reason is that they have not qualified in these three areas. Do you see? We cannot let people into this deep area that could misuse it. Because here lies tremendous power, raw energy, if you would put it that way. And they're just simply, it's not that we are cruel and don't want people to be able to participate in that kind of thing. It's simply that they could do great damage. Because there's power. There's power, sir. This is where the power source of the planet lies. And just as you don't let a child into an atomic reactor plant, you don't let someone who wouldn't know what to do with the energies into that area. And no black magician can enter.
Uh-huh.
This is why you don't need to fear. You know, for all of their impressive list of achievements, a magician of any kind isn't really able to do much. Not much. Because the power doesn't lie there. The power lies deeper. Have I covered this?
Yes,
do you understand? So this is why I want to say that the best psychics, I will go back to my psychic understanding, which, believe it or not, is coming full circle. When a psychic begins to do readings, all right, they can tune in on any of these levels, depending only on one thing, themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have not had the passing rights from one area to another, then they will have to stay in whatever area they have passing rights to. Now, that is very clearly. Some psychics are able to deal absolutely beautifully with the physical plane. They can tell you what's going to happen, what's this and what's that, the manifestations on the material plane, mm-hmm. how much money you're going to have, and so forth. I mean, they can just do this to a very great degree. But when they move to the next level, it is totally foggy to them. And they may see a symbol here and a symbol there, but they're not really able to move in that psychological realm at all. They cannot really put a finger on, for you, the real motive behind your own movements, which is what, of course, they would be looking for. They would be looking for some kind of a congruent movement as to meaning, as to why you would have certain actions happen in your material life. You see? Do you see what I'm saying? Am I making this clear?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, there are some people that have very good access to that area, and they can tell you all of the manipulations on that area. And then there are those, of course, and this is where primarily the bulk of your psychics realm, psychics are, is in the third realm, in the realm of the occult. And there again, you have varying degrees. Some see very fuzzy. They see a form and they make an interpretation, and it's maybe true, maybe not true. Things fade in and out. They're not really clear on it. The process is limited, or it can be vast, depending. All right? And then there are the very few psychics, who we no longer call psychics, but we call messengers who move into the deeper realm. And it is there that they're able to go past all three and to bring forward the truths that lie in that area and try to make them verbal.
Mm-hmm.
And you see what a process this is, because they still have to move from that deep area of power where the power is greatest. They still have to, in a sense, move through the other layers to bring it to you in the word form.
Mm-hmm.
Because much goes on between the tapping of that source imagery and the actual pronouncement of the words. Now, it's done in lightning time, but nevertheless, there is a process here.
Okay.
And this is why you will have varying degrees of success. And even in this realm, even though some have access, as this woman has access to this deep area, sometimes even then there's a fluctuation depending on many things. But this is the realm from which we are speaking.
Right.
And this is the realm from which the great teachings of the planet come out of. And this is the realm that we would ask all of you to, if it attracts you at all, to make every effort to become a part of. And the way, of course, is through forgiveness and love and service. These three must be performed. You cannot be selfish. You cannot be unforgiving. And you cannot be hard of heart. Or this area is not open to you. And this is an area, of course, just as I'm saying, these are the psychic areas, these are the meditation areas, too. I'm sure you've already made that connection in your mind. These are the areas that are open to you in deep meditation.
Mm-hmm.
You may settle in at any of these levels. And again, I would ask all of you, or any of you who choose to really deeply meditate, to make every effort to move quickly through the first three.
Right.
And to seek always to place your anchor in this deep level, even though it's difficult, even though the others are more alluring and more captivating and more filled with image making. Please make every effort, because it is here that you will find the power. It is here that you will spring forward in joy and bliss and understanding. This is where you get a hold of the peace that passes all understanding and wisdom that lights up your mind. This is where that power comes from. And so, just as is true in the psychic reading, it is true in the meditation. The fields do not change. There are still fields that one must move through. And this is why I think it's important to mention them, so that as you move through, you will understand and not allow yourself to be trapped.
If you can circumvent the psychological, although that may be more difficult today, given all of the interest in it, can you circumvent the occult too, and just go directly to the spiritual realm?
Yes, and that's not as hard to do. You know, it's not hard to get past the occult. The thing is that if in your heart you desire those things, then you will have to spend time experiencing that, and you'll have to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one must always be very honest with oneself. You see, one must be so honest with oneself. And you don't have to share these with anybody else, but you have to share them with yourself. You know, if what you want is to see a vista, a grand vista of happenings, of beings and persons and the world of the dead and the magic and so on, if this is what you really want, then that is what you'll have to spend your time working with. And hopefully it won't take long, and one will become bored and realize that just as all of the bodies on the earth plane have pretty much the same kinds of patterns and kinds of lives and so forth, one will finally understand that the psychological, there are only so many games deeply played, and you come to understand that. Then you move on to the occult. You also see there that there isn't a tremendous amount of lasting meaning, because you see in all these areas they are so fluid, they change, they're so filled with change that you will lose your footing easily, and that's always a sign that you're not in the realm of the real.
Mm-hmm.
When things are always changing and always fluctuating, you're not in the realm of the real. And so the joy, the bliss, the continued eternal power and joy and harmony exists in this deeper realm. And so we ask you, if it at all appeals to you, any of you, to make every effort to move toward that and to stay there and anchor yourself, anchor your awareness in that level, and you will be able to move dynamically and change things dynamically in your life and the life of those around you, because you will be in touch with the dynamic power, a dynamo.
Mm-hmm.
You will be in touch with that power.
Mm-hmm.
I think we better close, so she's getting quite tired.
Okay.
But I would ask that, I realize that there are some, what is the expression, loose ends here.
Yes.
On this, and if you would perhaps hear it again before the time when our friends come. They may have some questions, I hope they do, from our friends to the south. I hope that they have compiled some questions that we might be able to work with. And if not, I feel that we should take this up at another time.
We certainly will.
And then good night.
Good night.